God, it's embarrassing.
Should I say
it? You should have, but now it's too late. Welcome to Highly Questionable. It's going to be a very highly questionable day. That's Monica McNutt. We've also have Pablo Torre, who is wearing what appears to be a blazer, and it's making us all offended.
Or is it?
I stand corrected.
This is so weird.
Is Donovan Mitchell right that the Jazz got hosed by the refs last night?
All right, so you might know this. The Sixers beat the Jazz in overtime. There was an incredible step-back three from Joel Embiid to send them into overtime. But instead of talking about that or the Sixers win, we're going to talk about the refs. Because after the game, a lot of the conversation from the Jazz was about the refs. There were some questionable calls in this game. I would say the majority of it started towards the end of the game, about 28 seconds left in regulation. There was a questionable call when Royce O'Neal appeared to have saved a ball that was going out of bounds, but then the refs kind of conferred for a long time, didn't really give a lot of transparency, gave the ball to the Sixers. People were confused. Turns out it was the right call because the ball hit a ref. I'm getting in the weeds on these. Let's take a look at the technicals that were called on Donovan Mitchell in overtime. Tipped by
Simmons and Bede. That's dominance, incidentally.
That's
resorting
such a hard
to fouls to stop him.
So
a technical has been called, I
guys.
Think,
as
well. Oh, the dap. Yeah, Mitchell. Note the dap to Ben.
Putting the Mitchells hit to say.
This is superstar like benefit of the doubt.
I mean,
and here's the second one.
It's justice. Is what this is.
Is it, Pablo?
I mean, Donovan Mitchell didn't want to be there. I mean, look what happens to him.
What?
That's aggressive.
Didn't want to be there.
That's aggressive.
Mitchell, technical. He's gone. Looks
wow.
Like.
Yeah. Two technicals here.
Second technical for talking to the ref again.
He has not stopped talking yet.
Joel Embiid telling him farewell is the kicker.
I love him so much.
Whoopsie.
Oh!
Look, I like that. I'm like a known Donovan Mitchell sympathizer, but I do like that when you accidentally hit someone with the Gatorade bucket you threw, it's nice to apologize. We probably assumed there were going to be some comments about this from the Jazz after the game, and then there were. I believe we have a clip of those.
It's tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete and to have a game like that taken from us. And I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more.
Really?
But this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually
guffawing audibly,
screwed in a way by this. You know, like we won this game, in my personal opinion. You know, but like I said, I'm gonna give them credit. They won, whatever, cool. But like this is it's a consistent thing, and you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are, and it's getting ridiculous, KK. That this is what's happening.
Okay, so it's a clip of Donovan Mitchell saying, "I don't like to blame the refs, but I'm about to blame the refs." He also said, in his opinion, they won the game, and as we all know, Pablo, more than anyone, opinions don't really make a difference on who wins the game. So I understand the instinct to mock it, but his teammates echoed this same feeling. And the general idea was that there seems to be some conspiracy among the refs in the league against small market teams, that big market teams get calls that small market teams do not. And so in order to try to figure out if that's true, you need some research. And Eric Walden from the Salt Lake Tribune found a website called pudding.cool, and according to that scientific source, they studied the last 2-minute reports from 2015 to 2018 and found that 4 out of the top 5 most disadvantaged teams were small market teams. Does that mean anything? Probably not. It's pudding.cool, but it is the only information that's available to be analyzed, and the analysis seems to show that. To me, anytime there's a big conspiracy, you have to think of all the people who would have to buy in and help perpetuate that conspiracy to make it happen. And knowing what I know about humans, we're just not usually that organized or buttoned up. So I think there's a worthwhile discussion to be had, but I don't think when you're the team that it's affecting, it's ever going to be beneficial for you to point out that you are being victimized by the game you play for a living.
Correct. This is a lot. I'm with you 100% on the conspiracy theory, Katie. I don't think that, but I would be curious to see which of those small market teams over the time of that survey were actually contenders, because I think superstars are the bigger theme here. And Utah, while they're a small market group, now has a superstar in Donovan Mitchell, and they're the team sitting at the top of the Western Conference standings. But we should have won that game, not to mention the fact that, you know, opinions don't matter when it comes to wins and losses. There were opportunities. Maybe if you don't pick up the second tech, Donovan, maybe you're on the floor with an actual opportunity to win the ball game. Now, he was frustrated about the previous call when he got called for an offensive call for hooking Ben Simmons. It honestly could have gone either way, in my opinion. But at some point, you got to play basketball. That's the bottom line.
Can I just be very blunt about this? I think this is the worst question I've ever seen in highly questionable history, which is saying a lot. Because there was once a question, Katie, that was, does this cat have elite core strength? And this is worse than that. And I say that because we've now discussed a website called pudding.cool, which to me, I apologize again here, this is very pudding.uncool. Because Joel Embiid, guys, what else do you need from him? What else do you, producers up in the sky, Katie Nolan, Monica McNutt, what else do we need to get him to the top of the show? Is it a 40-point, 19-rebound game that involves a step-back three-pointer? Again, 19 rebounds, step-back three-pointer. That seems special to me against the number one team that thinks they won games that they actually lost. But I'll actually throw in some other stuff, right? Joel Embiid now, thanks to this game, has 5 40-point, 10-rebound games. That is more than the entire rest of the NBA combined. They have 4, he has 5. He has a 40, 50, 90 kind of year going on with a defensive player of the year candidacy campaign. That's reasonable. I don't know what else you want me, I mean him, to do to get his, I mean my respect on this show. It's insane to me.
Probably he has to have these numbers when the refs are not a storyline all week. Sorry, Pablo.
Yeah, Pablo, you sound like a ref right now. Are you a ref, bro?
Yeah, totally.
You a ref?
Anyone.
Exactly what a ref would say.
Can you get behind the Ravens' spot and choose overtime proposal?
So according to a report from Mike Florio, the Ravens are proposing an overhaul of overtime rules that I'm going to attempt to explain, but sometimes I get pretty lost in details when trying to explain complicated things. So whatever I miss, I know these two will help me with. So basically, the goal here is to get rid of the coin toss, the chance of a coin toss affecting the outcome as much as it does, because you could argue that winning the coin toss makes you more likely, I think literally, to win a game, and they want to eliminate chance having that big of an outcome. So what's being proposed here is that one team during the coin flip will pick a spot on the field, and then the other team will pick if they want to be on offense or defense. It's a little bit confusing, but there's two proposals. And so one is that this will be a sudden death situation where if no team scores after a period of 10 minutes, the game will end in a tie. The second proposal, and this one is supported by Bill Belichick, it's worth noting, is the same situation with I pick where it goes on the field and you pick if you want to be offense or defense, but it's not sudden death and the overtime period lasts for 7 minutes and 30 seconds. And whoever's ahead at the end of that time wins the game. And for the record, there is still a coin toss, but the winner gets to choose the spot, not to choose, what they choose now. I think I covered most of it. I keep going back and forth on whether this is a good idea or a bad idea, mostly because until I see it, it's still going to not really make a lot of sense up here. And so I'm trying to picture it, but genuinely interested to know if you guys think this solves a problem or overcomplicates what should be a relatively easy situation.
Asking me personally if I think something is too complicated is obviously very fraught. Like, I'm biased towards complication in some ways, as per the prologue to my real answer here. But I love this. I love this so much, Katie, in the simplest terms. It's the you cut, I pick kind of philosophy. It's like, hey, I have a cake that I'm sharing with my friend. I will cut it. I will let my friend choose which half they get or which third they get, depending on how good I am at cutting. And the reason I love this is not just because it takes out all of the random chance, and I don't have many friends lately on account of various factors. But I will point out that it's great because we're going to have so many more things to blame. Like, we're in the blame business. We couldn't blame the coin. Now we can blame all sorts of terrible or great decisions that people are making on where to spot the ball and whether to accept offensive or defensive responsibilities. So I'm all in on this because it makes our jobs easier, I think.
I will agree with Pablo that you now have some schematic advantages. If I'm the Rams and my defense is top tier, then cool. If I'm not the Rams and some team whose offense is high-flying Patrick Mahomes, then great. I'd have to see this executed. I think the fact that Bill Belichick is in on it and it's an organization like the Ravens that are proposing it is a big deal in terms of gravitas as opposed to some young hotshot new quarterback or head coach, rather. I think it's fun. I think that this gets more fun for fans, but just because we kind of agree on that, I could see where the NFL league as a whole still run by stuffier older gentlemen not being on board.
Gentleman was kind.
Yes.
It is worth noting, though, what I think is interesting about this proposal is that it allows for a possibility, right? Like, it could go kind of boring and be normal. But there's a possibility if a team has what they feel is an advantage, let's say a really strong quarterback, and they're playing against a team that has a disadvantage, like a weaker quarterback, they could say, all right, we choose the spot. It's the 1 yard line. So do you want to defend against Patrick Mahomes at the 1 yard line? Or do you want to give your quarterback the ball at the 1 yard line? Either way, we can kind of take advantage of these situations. It allows for that in a really interesting way, potentially based on matchups.
Yeah, it allows for people to feel insulted. Like, how dare you offer me the ball at the 1 yard? Really? That's what you're going to do? I just love anything. Like, I'm going to get sort of far afield here, but I don't even want, like, seedings in sports to be a thing. What I want is the team with the best record should be able to pick what their opponent is in the first round. I don't care about, like, the math to get us there. Just give us opportunities where people who win things can then point to the other teams and say, I don't respect you, and I want you to do this for me right now.
But, okay, the point of this, though, is supposed to be taking out the chance of the coin toss. We still start this thing off with the coin toss, and there still could end in a tie. So I don't know if we're just getting cute for no reason the more that I think about it.
Wait a minute. Forget the coin toss. Arm wrestle.
Okay. All right.
Up next on HQ.
On the New York Times' like actual newspaper was an article about how Navy pilots had seen what they believed to be UFOs.
Do you question if Jim Boeheim should be in a better mood than this after a big win?
Syracuse beat Clemson by double digits. Big solid win. And after the game, Jim Boeheim was asked a question by a reporter, and just play the clip. It's strange.
I just wanted to ask you on Quincy and Allen if you could expand a little bit on their defensive growth, especially the past couple games, and what Quincy and Allen have been able to do as defensive guys on the wing. It seems like they've balanced getting out to shooters.
I think they're getting better. They still make some mistakes, and that's normal.
Our next question is from but
if I played Jesse and Kadari, we'd probably be 22-2 now. I just didn't see that. And I couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2".
I just don't understand the curmudgeonness that's just pouring out of him after a win. It's not even a loss. He's so mad about it.
I do have to take a timeout on this one. Usually I'm very much, you're very much get off my line, dude, Boeheim. But on this case, I get it, former athlete, here we go
with the big jock Monica McNutt.
All right, all I'm saying is our columnists and our job in the media now is to put these thoughts out there that are provocative, but I get it, my guy. You knew when you fired off that column how this was gonna go down.
You don't need to be a congressman to commentate on Congress. You don't need to be a dinosaur to be a paleontologist. You don't need to do the thing if you put in the work and the research and the time and you're respectful of those who actually do the thing in a first person sense. And you know that, okay, I'm not saying that I could be on the Syracuse basketball team, but I do have observations about that team. That's all I'm saying here. But secondarily, what I'm also saying is that there is a thing that Jim Boeheim does have ultimate authority over. It is kind of like hard to put my finger on it exactly, but actually Jim Boeheim can.
Oh, come on. This haunts my come on.
Yeah, right in there, Jim. Right in there.
Come on. Jim Boeheim is a weird guy to be the one upset about somebody else for digging.
Do you question if Baker Mayfield spotted a UFO?
You know, you could argue Baker Mayfield is having one of his, like, less chaotic off-seasons. There's less going on with the Browns than usual in an off-season. But now you can't argue that anymore because he tweeted, and apparently he's got a lot going on. He said that almost 100%, which, you know, there's numbers less than 100 you could just use. Em and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. They looked at each other, asked if they saw it. It was a very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? I didn't. I can just say I don't even know there was a lake named Travis. It seems like a very approachable lake, but I didn't see anybody corroborate it. I haven't looked into it. I don't know.
I mean, look, once upon a time, you get a story about Baron Davis seeing a UFO or Aaron Rodgers even, mm-hmm. and you would dismiss mm-hmm. them as like, okay, zany athletes saying zany things to troll the rest of us. I am not one of those people anymore. I saw in the New York Times a thing that none of us really like to care or talk about enough. On the New York Times' actual newspaper was an article about how Navy pilots had seen what they believed to be UFOs, like unidentified flying objects on video in their radar systems. And I just think there's a lot more here than meets the eye.
Monica, what do you think? Do you believe in aliens?
Sure. Why not? What do we know?
I love that. You know that's what? Actually that's a great attitude.
That's exactly the right answer. We don't know, but you know what? We probably know.
Tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, Heat and Pelicans.
Yeah, sure. I'm intrigued. I like seeing Zion go off. You got point Zion. He's just going nuts. He went off against the Bulls. I believe we have a clip of that. It's fun. Enjoy it.
He's a ridiculous human being who just does casual stuff like this. Sure, I'll take the ball full court. Yo.
I love it. As we're watching this clip, the commentators are like, make someone else beat you because it's oh so easy just to take the ball away from Zion and not allow him to beat you.
Yeah, and now, I say stuff like that too. Now we know he's also a poet, which I'm glad to know. Makes me appreciate him even more. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am extraordinarily intrigued, not about the Heat, the opponent in this game, although various Heat propagandists like to say, man, the Heat are relevant right now. No, they're not. Instead, Zion Williamson giving us a dunk that seems like it should be something we're numb to, but finding ways to twist his body in midair to just like prove, okay, yeah, maybe you are in fact a super, super special, lovely gummy bear of a person.
Yeah, maybe. I guess that's fair to call that a maybe. Monica, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I think to me, healthy Zion is so much fun to watch. And I will be the first to admit that I was of the camp that I was concerned about his weight. He seems to be managing it just fine. And Pablo, the Heat are going to be relevant. Just wait.
Oh. If you're ever concerned about my weight, will you just tell me to my face, please? I don't want that to be something you admit later.
Text or FaceTime, what you want.
I was told by HR that I should not do that.
No, Pablo, I was talking to Monica.
Okay,
all right?
Great.
In the NHL tonight, a 10-game slate of hockey.
Wow. Is it my birthday? We're going to talk about hockey on HQ. All right, don't turn the channel. The show's almost over anyway. Stay with us and it's worth watching. Hockey is still a sport that happens. Many of us love it very much. You don't have to worry. There's a player you definitely know in this clip, Alex Ovechkin. He is in this clip with Trent Frederick from the Bruins. Go Bruins. Just watch it. Yo! Yeah, I was going to try to explain what happened, but just watch it.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Oh,
oh No.
Can you do it in slow-mo so we can watch how that stick bends? Because it bends in a way that lets you know just how hard it was pushed. And can you just run it back?
Oh, no.
This is bad.
This is awful.
How is this? How is he
does a lot of things.
How is he not in jail right now?
Oh my god, that was
it does
there.
Bend, Katie. I didn't notice that at first. You're
yeah,
right, it,
the
bend.
Torque is what really sells it. That was it wasn't not great. I'm intrigued. Pablo, are you intrigued?
Despite the fact that I am the son of the LeBron James of Filipino urologists, that's too much. That's too much for me, actually. So no.
I'm sorry. No. Who
you heard me.
Was that coined? Was that term coined by a medical journal or?
Shout out to your parents.
Okay, Monica, are you intrigued by either the hockey thing or what Pablo just said?
I am intrigued by what Pablo just said. You got to keep all your systems together so that you function best as one. The game.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Ovi. Love Ovi. Shout out to my Caps. I'm gonna pass on it though. Hockey does a lot of things. This one to me crosses a line.
It is important for our systems to be intact,
as
the only voice on this show can attest to the system.
We don't have to. That's it for our show today, guys. The only way I can get him to stop what he's doing is to end the show. So that's it for the show. Monica, I'm sorry. I bet you had very smart things you were going to continue saying, but out of respect for our viewers, I cannot let Pablo go on much longer. If you want to find more Monica, find her. But this, you don't need to do this to yourself. It's only Thursday.
ESPN Daily.